You're listening to A1R Psychic Radio, Earth's number one psychic radio network, and watching Moonstruck TV and Lightning Television. Welcome. Time for Amanda Hall Psychic with Amanda Hall. Live from AmandaHallPsychic.com.au. Connect direct. In North America, dial 888-454-2751. In London, 203-519-2158. In Sydney, dial 02-8488-3147. Or online, contact us through our Facebook page, Facebook.com/Psychic Radio.
Or one of our websites,
AskOneRadio.com or Moonstruck.tv. This is Amanda Hall Psychic on A1R, the Ask One Radio Network.
Welcome to A1R Psychic Radio here on Moonstruck TV with Amanda Hall Psychic. What an interesting week it's been around the world. I mean, we're not going to recap on it, but it has been an interesting week for most people. And, you know, the flavour of this week with readings that I've performed around the world has been people are on the move. Everybody seems to be either, one, changing their job, looking for somewhere new to live, or just wanting to bring something into their lives that's different. That it's like everybody sort of all of a sudden become not so much bored, but dissatisfied with things and wanting to bring about change. It's like they've sat on their hands for too long and it's now time to start moving forward. So it's really interesting that the Simply Tarot card of the week this week is the card of improvements. It's the Three of Pentacles. It's improvements underway, but delays around it. It's also known as the card of renowned glory or a place of worship. Now, when we talk about improvements underway, that can be in any area of our life. It's not necessarily just in money or love or family. It can go right across the broad spectrum. So anything that you're hoping to have improvements with, it is underway. But just be aware, there could be a couple of delays around it. So it could be a little bit of a false start that we get going and then all of a sudden we hit a roadblock. That doesn't mean that we're meant to change course. It means we just need to sort of be patient and work through it. Now, the card of renowned glory, to me, is the highest point that we can achieve. It's the highest pinnacle. It's the best that we can achieve out of a situation. And for many of us, that's what this card will represent, that it's not so much the completion, but it's the highest point during the journey of a particular area of our lives that we're trying to complete. For some people, it will be the card of worship. It'll be a place of worship or where they feel the most secure. Now, worship doesn't always necessarily mean that we've got to walk into a church. A place of worship can be somewhere that you call a sacred space in your home, somewhere you feel at your most peaceful, where you sort of go to sit and contemplate and think about decisions or look at areas of your life. It's somewhere that you feel the most secure. And we all have places like that. So our place of worship can be a very personal place. It doesn't necessarily have to be a bricks and mortar building. You know, churches in the olden days were held outdoors in the great outdoors in under a tree. You know, people found plenty of places to feel peaceful and give thanks for everything that they had in their lives, or a place of contemplation and looking forward to other things or new opportunities that could come into their life. So it's wherever your significant place of worship is. But remember, this is the card of improvements underway, but there could be a slight delay around it. We need to be aware of this. Not everything always runs so smoothly that there's never a hiccup or a speed bump in the road. You know, some of the greatest glories that we've had in our lives come from sheer hard work and determination and, you know, being patient and pushing through boundaries and maybe taking a little bit of a detour to end up back on the road that we're meant to be. But in the end, we get to where we're meant to be and we find that, you know, it's a very peaceful place then, or it's a job well done, where we do feel that we were able to achieve a lot. So this is the card of improvements underway and it's a very positive card. Now, moving on to the astrology, happy birthday to all the Leos. Again, we're in the last few days of Leo before the energy will change. So it's the time that no matter what your star sign is, if you need a little bit of an extra push, now is the time to do it in the next few days, because the energy is still with you with all the 12 signs. So this final push of Leo, get out there, strut your stuff, speak up. Don't necessarily be bossy. Do it in a forthright sort of manner. Do it in a way that people know that you're serious. serious, but you don't need to yell and scream or jump up and down or stamp your feet or whatever to get attention. You can do it in a powerful sort of dynamic way without raising your voice. And I think that's the important thing here. People tend to think of the roar of the lion, but they don't think of the gentleness of the little kitten. And they're both appropriate. And it's sort of sometimes we've got to get a mix of both, you know, the strength of the lion that, yes, you can come in, you can be forthright and determined and know exactly what you want, but you can present it in a soft, cuddly, tiny sort of way, like a kitten that, you know, coming in and everybody goes ooh and ah, because the softness, the gentleness there is there. So that's maybe the way that you want to look at approaching it. So this week we still have a stellium of planets sitting in Leo. So I'm going to work with these first, which is Jupiter, the planet of expansion, opportunity and luck, will only be in Leo for about another 9 months. So this is definitely affecting the fire signs, which is Leo, Sagittarius and Aries, and the opposite sign of Aquarius. It will gently wash over the remaining eight signs, but it will not be as powerful as those four that I mentioned. So Jupiter is the planet of luck and opportunity, is conjunct or holding hands Mercury. Mercury is the planet of communication, and communication in all forms, whether it's positive or negative, it is ruled by Mercury. Mercury is actually conjunct the Sun in Leo. So this is a really powerful time for those four signs, particularly if you need to get your point across with great gusto and get people listening to you, or create opportunities out of nowhere, or even just follow up on projects that maybe have been a little bit slow or haven't quite got off the ground yet. Now might be the time to sort of look for some more creative or some innovative ways, or some ways that Jupiter can help you sort of move these projects along and bring some expansion and some opportunity. Maybe there's some untapped markets, some phone calls or some emails that you haven't sort of sent to sort of maybe potential new people that might be able to help you achieve what it is you're trying to achieve. But make sure if you're going to be communicating with people, you're doing it in a very clear and concise manner. Sometimes I think when we put the passion into things, and that's what Leo is about, is being very passionate, sometimes we forget to add that little bit of gentleness as well. Like I spoke about earlier, it's all well and fine to come in like the lion, the king of the jungle, but make sure you put a little bit of softness in there of the soft, cuddly kitten, because it's both of those things that will win people over. It's not one versus the other. It's a combination of both. And, you know, yes, people like to see you being positive and direct and, you know, full of confidence and able to present something well, but they also want to see a gentle, softer side, sort of saying that you're still human, that you care about your fellow human beings, or you care about the project that you're trying to launch and get off the ground, that you can see it from both points, from a business perspective and needing to sort of get out there and strut your stuff, but also you can present it in a palatable way, in a softer, gentle way to get people on board, to get people to purchase your product or believe in your project. So it's really, really important. So that's where we're going to leave that section. We're going to work now with Mars, the planet of action. Now, Mars, the planet of action, is the planet that gets us out of bed every morning, that says, come on, we've got to get motivated, we've got to start your day. Sometimes Mars gets bad press because sometimes he's seen as being of a bit of a bully. And I suppose he can be sometimes, but sometimes we need somebody to come in and give us a bit of a rev, or sort of say something to make us get our angry hat out of the closet and say, that's not right, that's not me, I'm not doing that. And then all of a sudden, before we realise it, we've been motivated to break through those barriers that have been sort of holding us back, or our own procrastination or our own lack of confidence to sort of get up and make something happen. But somebody makes us get angry and get our angry hat out of the closet, that all of a sudden we've got all this determination and all the answers and we move forward. So sometimes it's really important. So Mars is sitting in Cancer at the moment, will be for a time yet. So Mars in Cancer doesn't necessarily feel really comfortable there, because Mars, as I said, is the planet of action. It wants us to get up off the couch, get everything moving, do it in a sort of a dynamic sort of way, and in sometimes a bossy sort of way. It doesn't really sort of have any gentleness there. Well, in Cancer, the Cancer energy should never be underestimated. It can be a very, very strong energy, but at the same time, there's a gentleness there. There's a maternal energy there. There's a wanting to sort of help everybody and putting other people first, quite often cancers do rather than themselves. And it's been a struggle for them over the years to be able to learn that it's okay to say, I can put myself first. Yes, other people or other family members or friends are important, but my needs need to be taken care of first. And then we'll look at what's left over and what time and what energy I can invest into other people. So that's been a really big lesson for cancers over the last 10 years. And a lot of them, I'm happy to say, have really embraced this really well and sort of taken on board that they need to sort of put their own needs first above everybody else. And then it's sort of the rest of their lives sort of flows a lot easier by bringing things more into a balance this way. So for cancers, it's going to be a really interesting 12 months because there's going to be times where you're really going to have to be on your mettle to win through. There's a not so much confrontation, but a time where you're going to have to sometimes really dig deep and push forward for what you really believe in or what you really need, and then put everybody else's needs and thoughts and processes in second place, that you have to come first. This is really, really important. And by doing that, then you're going to find a lot more doors will fly open and things will become easier because you've learnt to put yourself first and then, you know, put things in an order of priority. It's really, really important. So we're going to talk now with Venus. Venus, the planet of love and affection. Now, everybody sort of wants to talk about love. It doesn't matter what your star sign is, we're all seeking that perfect person or that someone to share our lives with or someone to sort of, you know, have special in our lives. Nobody really wants to walk around in ones. I mean, I know there's a lot of people out there that flip from one relationship to another and people say, oh, they'll never settle down or whatever. Well, maybe that is true, but a lot of times they're seeking or searching for that other half of them and they haven't been able to find it. So they look like a serial lover, that they're out always on the hunt looking for new love opportunities and never settling down. But believe you me, even those people are still searching for that special person, their person, the person that they can rely on, the person that they can come home to. And sometimes it just takes people a little bit longer than others. So Venus is in Libra at the moment, feels very comfortable there because it rules Libra. So it's sort of like washing over all the 12 signs. Yes, it is affecting mainly the air signs, which is Libra, Aquarius, and Gemini, and the opposite sign of Libra is Aries, but it is really washing over the remaining 8 signs as well, telling us no matter what your star sign is, if you're seeking love, make sure that you're going to places that make your heart sing. For some people, that might be visiting an art gallery, going to a show. To somebody else, it might be going to the motorbike races because that's what makes their heart sing. There's no right or wrong here. It's sort of like get out and about in your environment, but get out and about in places that make you feel comfortable, things that you like to do, so that if you do meet somebody, then you met somebody that has a similar interest to you. They're at the motorbike races because they like it. They haven't gone there because it's a place where, you know, if you're a female, you can meet males. That's not really the answer. You've got to go to somewhere where you feel comfortable and you feel enthusiastic and you enjoy being there, because then you're likely to meet somebody that has similar interests, that has similar hobbies and likes the sort of things that you do. So you've got something in common to begin with. I think far too many times people sort of get in relationships with absolutely little or nothing in common. And then they wonder why once the excitement of the romance wears off, that it's sort of like, well, I don't really know you. I don't like you. I don't like what you stand for. We've got nothing in common. We've got nothing to talk about. And then they split up and they say, oh, I'm no good at romance. But the thing is, they went looking in the wrong places. You don't go into the butcher shop to buy milk or to have your teeth fixed. You know, you go to the butcher shop to buy meat for tea. So you've got to look at it in the same sort of way. You know, don't go shopping in the wrong places. If you're shopping for love, go in places that you feel most comfortable with, so that you will then possibly meet somebody that feels the same way. So we're going to wrap up this week's astrology with Uranus in Gemini. Now, look, Uranus is going to be in Gemini for at least another 7 years. So we've got a long time here. But what we're looking at here with Uranus is Uranus is coming along. It's a bit like a bolt of lightning, comes out of nowhere, clears things up. So if you're an air sign, you need to be very careful what you're verbalizing. Don't send things out to the universe that you don't want to happen, and particularly in anger or frustration. You know, you may not be happy with your job today, but say, you know, I'm not happy with my job today, but tomorrow's a different day and I'll be happy then. You know, make sure that you phrase it in, yes, you can blow off a bit of steam, but you put it in a positive tone that you don't really want to lose it. So Uranus is sitting in Gemini. It's going to create lots of opportunities, literally out of nowhere, good, bad, indifferent. So if you're a Gemini, sort of really make sure that you know what it is that you want, that what you're sending out to the universe, because it may just happen. But it's also the time when things can happen that we weren't expecting. You know, that great opportunity of a new job might just land in your lap with, you know, having a conversation with somebody you haven't seen for years, and all of a sudden they say, oh, our company's hiring, you know, I'd suggest you put in a resume. You know, things like that can happen out of nowhere. And by the same token, things that are not so pleasant can happen out of nowhere too, because it's the pathways are being cleared and moving us on to other directions that we need to be going. Sometimes life becomes stale and we're not prepared to make changes or move it along, because it's more comfortable to sit in something we don't like than it is to sort of really sort of get up and sort of go into the abyss or the unknown and the uncertainty. Oh, well, I'll just stay here because it's easier, even though I don't like it. And Uranus says, well, that's not going to happen. So Uranus is definitely affecting the air signs, which is Gemini, Libra, Aquarius, and the opposite sign of Sagittarius. So I hope you've enjoyed that. We're now going to talk with our first caller, which is Dina in Keyport in New Jersey in the USA. Are you there, Dina?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, sweetie. Do you have a question for me I can answer for you, Dina?
Yeah, I just wanted, when you were talking, everything was great that you said. I don't necessarily need someone, but I feel like I don't find, like you said, the people that are compatible with me. And I just feel like I waste my time and then there's nothing in common. So I'm not a big person to go out to bars or anything like that. And I work a lot. So this guy that I'm dating now, I like him, but I don't think that it's going to like go to the long haul. So I feel like I should be dating with intention of it going somewhere, or maybe not concentrate on it at all. I don't know. I want to get remarried one day.
Oh, of course. Look, nobody wants to walk around in ones, and I don't believe we're designed to. And it's a really interesting point that you brought up, that you don't go to bars. And my argument for that's always been, if you want to go to a bar, what are you going to meet? You're going to meet a drunk. You know, people that don't frequent bars very often don't go there for that reason, because they have no interest in becoming the world's greatest drinker. And, you know, that's why I sort of always talk about, you know, you've got to go to places that interest you, so that then you've got a chance of, if you do meet someone, they've got similar interests to what you've got. Look, I agree with you. This current relationship to me is going to run its course. I mean, I don't think it's strong enough to sort of move it along into the happily ever after category. But I'm going to say to you, Dina, too, that you're not being overly fussy. I don't think you're being ridiculously fussy in any way, even though some of your family and friends might think that your standards are too high and you're never going to meet Mr. Perfect because, you know, you've got such rigid ideas. I'm going to say to you, don't lower those in any way. Why should you settle for second best? When the time's right, you will meet someone, and it's not going to be that far away. And I've always believed in this score, and I've been in this sort of work a very, very long time, and I've seen all different combinations of how people meet people. But I've always believed when the time is right, the universe creates the opportunity. Whether it's you get a flat tire, you drop the bananas at the supermarket, or you're standing in a bank queue, if you're meant to meet Mr. or Mrs. Perfect, you will, because it's the right time.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we overthink it. You know, we think, oh, you know, I should have been this, or I should have been married by now, or I should have been remarried. And we put all these barriers up instead of just letting life flow and sort of saying to ourselves, well, look, I'm open to love. I'm open to the opportunities. But at the moment, the only thing I've got on my plate is going to work, going to church, going to the supermarket. And occasionally I get a little bit of time to myself. And that's okay, because, you know, you will meet somebody. I'm seeing somebody coming in towards the later part of the year, from October onwards. May not be as early as October, but it's from then onwards. So let's not focus too much on when the person's coming in at the moment, enjoy what you've got. When it comes to an end, sort of say, well, okay, that's great. You know, he's going his way and I'm going my way and, you know, no harm done. But when the next person crosses your path, he's tall, he's good looking, he's got dark hair, and I feel he's been through some very similar journeys to you. He's questioned whether or not he's been too fussy or this or that or the other, that, you know, he hasn't met anybody that he really connected with either, you know, that was like the other half of the latest buzzword is my person. And, you know, he sort of feels that maybe he was doing something wrong, but it's an instant thing. The two of you will meet, and it's certainly not through friends. And I think it's going to be somewhere unusual, you know, like somebody has sort of dragged you off to something that you didn't particularly want to go to. I know it's an outdoor event, and I know it's daytime, and I can see you sort of sitting under a tent at a table with a sandwich and a cup of coffee or something in front of you thinking, oh, my heavens, I'm so bored. When, you know, keep looking at your clock, can I go home yet? And he's sort of been dragged along the same way to something he didn't particularly want to go to either, but he's gone because he's trying to make an effort of getting out there. You know, you don't meet people if you stay at home and only go to work. So it's interesting that he sort of comes up and says to you, do you mind if I sit in that spare chair? And you say, go for your life, you know, like you don't take too much notice of it. And I know there's music or something going on there, but it's not your style of music, and it's like you're really bored with what the entertainment is. And he sort of leans across the table and says, are you as bored as I am, or something really strange like that. And you say yes, and he says, well, how about we get out of here and go for a walk or somewhere where it's a little bit quieter, and, you know, find somewhere to have a drink or a coffee or something. And you think, yeah, that sounds nice. And that's the start of it. And he's a really, really nice man. And I think the two of you will click. And, you know, you feel immediately comfortable and safe with this man. I'm not saying that you're going to go home with him that night, but what I'm saying is, you know, you spend some quality time together that afternoon, walking around and looking at whatever exhibits are there. And, you know, there seems to be a number of things. It's like going to a fair, but it's not a fair. But, you know, I can see, you know, like exhibits, and there's different tents with different entertainment in it and things like that. But it's really not, you know, if you're not a farming person, someone dragging you off to a farm show would be really boring, you know, where they find it fascinating. It's something like that. It's something you really wouldn't have chosen to go to by yourself, but, you know, you go anyway. So, but it's really going to blossom into a really beautiful relationship, and I can see marriage there for you. So just hang in there, Dina.
I look forward to that. Thank you so much.
Yeah, he's really lovely. So I'll look forward to hearing about him when you meet him.
Definitely. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, Dina. We're going to now talk with Margaret in Hamilton in Scotland in the UK. Are you there, Margaret?
Yes, I am.
Do you have a question for me, please, Margaret? Yeah, do you have a question, sweetie?
Gosh, is there anything, any love coming for me?
Any love? Is that what you said, Margaret?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, sweetie. Yeah. We can look for that. The first thing that they're sharing with me, Margaret, is that it's been a really difficult year. Is that how you've seen this year? Like you really feel like you haven't made a lot of progress?
Yes.
Yeah. They're showing me that that's coming to an end. And I want to be very clear with you. There's nothing you could have done any different that would have made it any easier. It's just one of these years where things had to be sort of sorted out in their own time, and there was nothing you could do to speed it up or make it less or whatever. But you've done a really, really good job, because they're showing me that they're sprinkling from heaven a packet of gold stars saying, Margaret, you've done an excellent job, and here's a packet of gold stars to prove it. So that's wonderful. I know you asked about love. Now, it's really interesting, because they keep bringing forward to me somebody from your past. So is there somebody from your past that sort of got away, that you thought should have been the love of your life, but circumstances didn't allow it at that time? A man with brown hair?
Possibly.
No, you'd know who I'm talking about. This was a long time ago, and it was somebody that you were heartbroken over, that the opportunity didn't present itself for you two to see where it could go.
Yeah, there was somebody a long time ago.
Yeah, this is a long time ago. I'm not talking about 6 months ago. I'm talking about a long time ago. For whatever reason, they're showing me the two of you are going to cross paths again. Now, I'm not saying to you that this will be the love of your life or your new partner. What I'm saying is, let's use this as a marker on time. If this person was to reach out to you, say on social media, or someone says to you, oh, I saw him the other day and he looks great or he looks terrible or whatever, that's all it has to be. It's like we need to clear this. I think, unfortunately, you've carried this around in your heart for way too long, always wondering what could have been or what should have been or whatever. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's like he's carried the same feelings too, that he's always wondered what could have been or what should have been. You know, you've always had a special place in his heart too. So I just want you to sort of understand that, and then there will be someone new that will come into your life, Margaret. It's somebody that is going to be strong and positive. I'm going to say that he has light brown hair and he has very light eyes. He has quite an interesting face. He's a very nice man, but he seems to be very closed off as far as his emotions. He doesn't open up easily, and that's okay. I don't think you do either. So it's like as if you need to just take your time with the situation and look at it where it can go, and then you'll find then that the relationship will blossom, but it's going to be very slow to begin with. So do you find, Margaret, that you don't open up with people easily?
No, I don't.
No,
I don't.
He's very
tall.
No, well, he's the same way, and that's why I'm suggesting to you, don't look at that in a negative, because when the two of you meet, it's sort of like, yes, we know there's an attraction there, but we don't talk about it. Do you know what I mean? He sort of says, well, I'll see you next week. And, you know, say you say, yes, good. And then you see each other again next week. And then sort of, you know, it takes a period of time for it to grow. It's not going to be an instant thing. Yes, you might instantly think, gee, he's lovely and I really feel comfortable with him, but you're certainly not going to tell him that, and he's certainly not going to tell you that. I really like the connection. Look, it could take 6 months from the two of you seeing each other on a weekly basis at something before he even gets up the nerve to even suggest let's go out for a cup of tea, you know, and or afternoon tea, and you think, well, you know, you're getting to the point where you're thinking, well, maybe I've misinterpreted this situation. He's never sort of said anything other than being pleasant and polite when we see each other once a week, but then all of a sudden he will. But it's certainly not asking you out for dinner or anything. He's asking you out to something, to me, that if you said no, it wouldn't matter, or if you just come as a friend, it doesn't look like a date. And that's why I suggested like afternoon tea or something like that. He's asking, would you like to join me for afternoon tea? I go down to the such and such. You say, oh, that'd be nice. And it's the sort of thing a friend would extend. You know, it's not necessarily putting you on the spot for a date. You just go out, you just have an afternoon tea, you enjoy that. And he says, well, we should do this again more often. And you say, that'll be nice. I'd like that. And that's how it starts. And it starts in this very simplistic sort of way of two friends sort of seeing each other at a regular thing once a week and then going out for a cup of tea and a bite to eat or something after it. And that's where the blossoming romance will grow from. And he's a really, really nice man. And I think he's been on his own for a while too, and he's ready for love, and so have you. So that's where we're going to leave it, Margaret, but it looks really amazing and it's wonderful to talk with you. So it's always interesting when people are seeking love, and people do seek love for many, many different reasons, because we don't want to walk around the world in ones, and we're not designed to, in my opinion. You know, there's your person out there for everybody, and that seems to be the in buzzword. You know, I'm looking for my person instead of I'm looking for the love of my life, as I like to look at it. So, you know, sometimes we've got to venture out into different places and we've got to look at different things. This week I came across a song that is a very, very old song, and it's been sung many times by many different people, but I had never actually heard this version. And this is why I thought I would share this one with you this week, because it's for two of the finest singers in the world. One of them, unfortunately, is no longer with us. And it's a really beautiful song that I think goes across the ages. It's a timeless sort of song, and it's called Somewhere Over the Rainbow. And no, it's not Judy Garland that's going to be singing it. I heard a version that I thought was absolutely magnificent by the late, great Olivia Newton-John and her best friend, John Farnham. So I'm going to leave you with that one this week. It's a very, very beautiful rendition. Somewhere Over the Rainbow by Olivia Newton-John and John Farnham. So until next week, enjoy your week. And if you're seeking love, venture out to somewhere that makes your heart sing. That might be just where you meet that person, somewhere over the rainbow. Bye for now.